I congratulate the working class, the Communist Party, the people in the government of the People's Republic of China on this, the 75th anniversary of the culmination of the revolutionary process in this largest of Asian nations. Of course, I have a special interest in China, having taught at the University of Hong Kong a quarter of a century ago, having written a biography of the noted African-American communist and intellectual and writer Shirley Graham Du Bois, who died in China in 1977, having written a number of books about her spouse, W.E.B. Du Bois, who visited China a number of times, both before and after 1949, and having written other books, including on Zimbabwe, Southern Africa more generally, and most recently, the Black Panther Party, all of which deal to a greater or lesser extent with China. The importance of this signal occasion, this 75th anniversary, was indicated recently with the September 2024 summit between the People's Republic of China and four dozen plus heads of state and government from Africa taking place in Beijing. This profound event promises more of the same, indicated when Vice President Harris of the United States traveled to Accra, Ghana, Lusaka, Zambia, and Dar es Salaam, Tanzania, with every airport she landed at either being designed and or constructed by Chinese interests. The trains from Mombasa to Nairobi, Kenya, and from Ethiopia to Djibouti are also indicative of the importance of China to African development. At this moment, when a new Cold War, or perhaps a hot peace, has erupted between China and U.S. imperialism and its allies and friends, it is apparent that more than ever, Beijing will be seeking succor and support in Africa, which in turn has driven Washington to accede finally to the longstanding demand for two permanent African seats at the top table, the United Nations Security Council, albeit without a veto, and as well, the recent news that President Biden will be traveling to Angola in the coming weeks in order to put his blessings on the major infrastructural project of the United States on the continent, speaking of the so-called Lobito Corridor, designed to transport the oil of Luanda, Angola, the copper of Zambia, and the cobalt of Congo to North Atlantic markets. This is ironic in light of the fact that in 1975, U.S. imperialism, in league with apartheid South Africa, sought to block Angolan independence, a diabolical plan that was only blocked by the dispatching of thousands of Cuban troops. In other words, the existence of communist-led China has forced U.S. imperialism, which is built in no small measure by dint of enslaved labor from Angola and Congo, to now be forced to disgorge concessions to Luanda and Kinshasa. Of course, we must realize that few issues unite the two major bourgeois parties in the United States as does hostility to Beijing. This came through in the recent presidential debate and is reflected in the so-called bipartisan congressional committee on China. This is reflected in important elections taking place from Pennsylvania to Montana, where hostility to Beijing is the keynote. This is reflected in the fact that the notorious Central Intelligence Agency has an entire center devoted precisely to focus on Beijing, which is quite unusual. Thus, as we go forward in this century, we continue to salute Beijing, and especially its assistance to socialist Cuba. This aid is indicative of a brighter future for the bulk of humanity. Thank you for your attention.